Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And our topic today is the seven churches of the Book of Revelation and what were all those booms that were being heard in Wisconsin this week? What was that all about? So we'll be bringing our guest on in a few minutes. Our guest is the author of the book, Explain This. It's a verse-by-verse explanation of the Book of Revelation, and her name is Christine Weick. And so if you have any questions, if you'd like to call in and you have any questions about the Book of Revelation or some of the events that are happening right now, in these end times that we're in, you can call 914-338-1638. And also, our chat room is open if you have any comments. We welcome your comments and your phone calls today. So we've had so many things in the news this past week, haven't we? There's so many things happening. And we can see that you can't really get an honest reporting from the television news programs. We really need to try to listen to some of the people that are on the internet. I think we try anyway to do an honest job reporting the events of the day, especially as they pertain to Bible prophecy, but we can see how the devil can use the the news media to get people stirred up. And it's very easy. It doesn't take too long. They're masters at manipulation, aren't they? But we also had, there was a few news stories, more news stories this week about the TBN scandal. And I will be posting a new video probably tonight that of a program that I did on the TBN scandal about a month ago. But anyway, the Crouch's granddaughter has filed a lawsuit against some of the TBN attorneys, and she was the chief financial officer there. So she knew about the finances. Anyway, she's brought the details of the misuse of the finances at TBN to the local prosecutor and some other agencies. So we can expect more news there. But it's like the Bible says, if you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap corruption. And we see that these ministries never cease to take advantage of people's problems, of especially people's financial problems. It really is a sad state of affairs when people call themselves ministers of the gospel, but yet they will use any type of witchcraft and lying to extract money from people with the promise that if you give them money, you'll get even more money yourself. But I don't know how I could ever be as rich as TBN. They're worth well over $1 billion, but yet they need more. But anyway, the Bible also says that what you've done in secret, it will be revealed openly. So all of us need to be quick to repent. And I hope they repent and they start doing the right thing. They've got mansions and buildings that, and nobody lives there. Nobody really uses these buildings very much. And to me, it's a big waste, but it's called conspicuous consumption, I guess. But anyway, again, the call-in number is 914-338-1638. If you have any questions for Christine, she is an expert on the Book of Revelation, so please do call in your questions. I'm bringing Christine on the air here. Hi, Christine.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Yes,
that's
bless.
Good. You're going to have to put up with my cold here. I come down with a good cold these last couple of days, and I am trying to shake it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's part of living here on the earth is colds.
Well, up in Michigan here, we've had some beautiful weather, and I tell you what, the last few days, it's been raining and cold, and I got caught in it.
That's it. The weather is changing so fast. One day it's really warm, and then it's cold, and we did actually really have a mild winter.
Oh, we've had a beautiful winter. I don't think we've even had frost in the ground this year, and
wow.
Some people even are saying that could be dangerous coming up, so we're
sure,
going to be
because,
seeing how
they didn't have much snow to fill up the reservoirs.
Yep.
So, yes, there will be, I imagine there will be many droughts in the next few months.
It'll be an interesting summer.
Yeah, I think so. I never look forward to summer living in Florida because it means hurricane season, and they're very real, these hurricanes, so I don't look forward
no,
to the
I
summer.
Can see. We don't have problems with those.
No, but we did a few years ago, and in fact, I'm going to go take some pictures of some trees. I've been meaning to do it. There's some trees nearby us where when the hurricane blew through, it bent the trees, it bent them over. Now, that's a pretty powerful wind that can do that. They never did snap. They just bent over, and they're still there. It's 5 years later or so, bent over. So I'm going to post those pictures. But I wanted to first ask you, before we get into the seven churches of the Book of Revelation, you had mentioned something about the booms that had taken place in Wisconsin. And, I mean, it made the news, but they never really explained what was going on, which usually that's what they do with news. They only want you to know what they want you to know. And so explain to us what happened there.
Okay. It kind of caught my attention on this type of phenomenon about a year ago. And I kind of just blew it off, thinking this was just another somebody putting things up on YouTube that were not really true, just making attention for something that was a hoax. And I kind of just blew it off, but it stuck in the back of my mind because a few people sent me this YouTube video of this couple recording this strange noise. And it popped up again more towards the end of the year. There was more and more areas around the world. And I think another big one that was happening was in this December, January in Costa Rica, that they actually did have the entire country heard the noise from one end of the coast to the other. And there was a few news agencies that reported from Costa Rica about them then. So that piqued my interest a little more. And then New Zealand had another one. I think that was sometime in, it must have been February, there was another round again of strange sounds. Now, these sounds from certain sources seem to be coming from the ground. Some say it comes from the atmosphere, and it's a description of a heavy dumpster being dragged across a metal floor. I mean, it is very difficult to explain these. To me, it sounded like when you go to a symphony, you hear the orchestra warming up. I mean, everybody plays their thing, and it just is a big drone, and it's just an odd, eerie sound. And then there was a couple of YouTube videos where the guy actually proved that it was a hoax, and I kind of, you know, kind of did a wink and a nod on that one. But the one that interested me was, I believe, 2 weeks ago, Wisconsin, Clintonville, Wisconsin.
Oh.
was the exact town, and this one actually made the nightly news. So this was a national news show now. And they described it as a booming thunder or a heavy door shutting very loudly to the point where it woke people up. It occurred three nights in a row. And that's the mysterious part of it, because that's what the geologists can't seem to connect, because there was a very small earthquake. But the earthquake did not happen, or it did not synchronize each night with the sounds. But that's the best explanation they can come up with, and some people accepted it and other people didn't. And but an earthquake doesn't make necessarily a booming sound like the shutting of a door. I mean, it does make a sound, but a 1.5, which is what the Richter scale said was the earthquake, that's not strong enough to produce an audible sound that would wake somebody up. And it wasn't the shaking, it was the sound.
Yeah.
So I kind of think we've got something happening here. I actually think we're going to see more of, or I should say hear, more of this as time moves forward. This has now been the first one that's been strongly reported, so I'm starting to think we don't have a hoax anymore. We have something real, but it's a phenomenon that's new.
Yeah.
And and it goes back, and this is just something that caught my attention about a year ago when we were first hearing this. I kept thinking there is somewhere in the Bible where it says the earth is groaning.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is. I believe it's in Romans chapter 8. And
right.
I left my Bible in the other room. So that
well, I'll look it up while you're talking.
I think it's Romans 8, verse 18 and 22.
Okay.
It states there that all earth waits for the resurrection of the sons of God, or all earth waits with groanings like the travail of a woman.
Yes.
And it's a waiting for that great day of the Lord. And I thought, well, hey, now wait a minute here. That's prophecy, great day of the Lord. But it says it waits for the resurrection of the sons of God. Do you see where that verse is?
It says verse, that it's Romans 8:22.
Yep.
And it says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So I have to look up the, there's probably more in Romans 8. And I'll
go back to verse 18. Read to me verse 18.
Okay. Let me click this on here. Romans 8. Okay, you want verse 18?
Yeah, yes.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God.
There we go. The manifestation for the sons of God. Now,
yeah.
My Bible, if you get the NIV or if you get the Living Bible, I think you have the King James there, states that the manifestation of the sons of God are going to be the resurrection of the sons of God. Okay? Now, the manifestation of the sons of God, well, what does that mean? Well, the manifestation, when you manifest something, you change something. And sons of God are children of God. So the changing of the children of God, well, what is that? That's the rapture, when we're changed in that twinkling of an eye. And it refers further down to that verse 22 about that great day of the Lord. Now, is there this phenomenon coming where we are waiting the rapture, where the earth is anticipating this. The earth gives up its dead. Well, of course, it's only for those who are believers.
Yeah.
Is this phenomenon connected to the noise, where the earth is groaning, and this is the sound that we are hearing? Because we are getting close, that the earth is starting to, the earth knows when this great day of the Lord is. I don't know. But it knows it's getting ready. Maybe not exactly the day, because nobody knows the day or the hour.
Yes.
But God created the earth for such a time as this, where the groanings of the earth in preparation for the rapture. I don't know, because this phenomenon is something new.
Yes.
But if the Bible is stating that the earth groans, is it something audible that we, people on earth, can hear? Maybe that brings up another question. That trumpet, that sound before the rapture, do we actually hear that? I think we do.
Oh, I do too.
So, this is something new, and to me, this is the biblical explanation. Since everybody else doesn't seem to have one, maybe we should look to the Bible for something.
Yeah.
And say, you know what? The Bible does talk about the earth that's groaning.
Yeah.
And
it
to
does.
Me,
yeah,
that's probably what it sounds like.
Yeah.
This is what the earth sounds like when it groans. So
well,
I tell you what, I'm throwing it out there because right now that's about the only explanation I can see that makes sense.
Yeah, well, that's a good explanation. It really is, because we can't, of course, we know that in our human minds, we can't figure God out. And when we read the Bible, there's so many things in the Bible that we can't figure all that out. We can't understand how God created the earth in 7 days, and he said, let there be light, and there was light. And we don't understand fully. Of course, it's going to take us for all eternity to try to figure God out. And I think that's a great explanation, because who... You can read that about the earth groaning, but you kind of pass it over and you don't really give it much thought. And of course, God can do anything. He can make the earth groan. He can do anything. He's God.
Yeah.
So there's so many things that are happening in the world today, and we see the events. Every day there's something new in the news that grabs your attention. But like I was saying before in the introduction, you can't really trust the news media, because you see how they like to take something and they like to manipulate the news. And sometimes I think it's like they're testing people to see how many days it would actually take to cause a riot in the streets. And it doesn't take too long if they keep reporting on the same story over and over again. It would take a few days, really, I think, to they could start a civil war if they wanted to. I even noticed that some stories they refuse to report on. I've called some of these news channels in the past with stories and items of news I thought that they should report on, and they don't report on it. For instance, one of the things I've called Fox News and CNN and CBN and TBN and Daystar Network and John Hagee and Rod Parsley and Joyce Meyer, and I don't know how many different people I called about the vaccinations, that most vaccinations contain aborted babies, that they've actually taken these cells and they've made from babies that were aborted in the 60s after abortion became legal, and they make vaccinations out of them. So I thought, now this is a story they should report on, but yet nobody's been brave enough to report on it. So they pick and choose the news stories that they want to report on, and even the so-called Christian stations do the same thing. There's certain things that they'll tell you, and then there's certain things that they won't tell you. So I think that we have to rely more than ever on God's word to bring us the news of the day, and then people that we trust on the internet, that who knows how much longer we're even going to have that freedom, because eventually I think that many of us will be accused of hate crimes.
Well, and that's something the news doesn't report on either, is the new legislation that's been passed through. March 1 was a big one.
I
Nobody
didn't hear that. Now, what
it.
Was that?
That was the new law. It was in the works for a couple of months. The NDAA, which is the National Defense Authorization Act. When I first started hearing about this, what this is that the government has the right to detain anybody, whether on foreign soil or American soil. So listen, U.S. soil can detain anyone, citizen or no citizen, if in the event of emergency where they feel that that person is a threat to the U.S. government. And that is to detain them without cause. Don't forget that. That means they can detain you if they think that, let's say there's a new disease that comes up and there's a vaccination that contains aborted fetus cells, there's going to be a number of Christians who will not take the vaccination. Well,
exactly.
Now, that's a government mandate. If you don't take it and the government says you should, well, you are now a terrorist.
Well, they've already prepared for that because
they put stories out
that you will be required to take these vaccinations should they have these outbreaks.
Sure. And so that new legislation was worded in such a way that it is the government's responsibility to make sure that you are not a terrorist. Wow. the wording on that was so vague that it could have really claimed you and me as believers, because we will not participate in a certain act. We could be detained in these big FEMA camps, which are also already set up. And what really frustrates me is when this law first came out, when it was under, on the floor of, to be looked at by Congress and the Senate and the House, Obama threatened to veto this. He was very strong about this. And amazingly, this one sneaked in. No news was made. And March 1, he went ahead and signed it after he threatened to veto it. And then just a week or two ago, he signed another form of legislation. And this is one I would have to look up, but just all you got to do is look up agricultural census, and it says the government will have control over all avenues of food distribution, including private home gardens. it's in there.
Wow.
Where they feel that there is a threat to food distribution, this will be restaurants, farmers, stores, that the government will have the authority to confiscate all material.
Wow.
That's the next one. And that one already did go through also. And that
one. That's amazing. That is amazing. I've noticed
martial
that.
Martial law coming up here.
Well, there is a move underway, of course, to control the food. But it's interesting because I went a few weeks ago. I was going to buy a lemon tree for the yard. And, of course, I like to buy organic. If I'm going to look for a tree, I like to buy a tree that hasn't been sprayed and who knows what else. But I was looking at some lemon trees, and then there was a tag on the tree, and it said, "This has been treated with so-and-so." And I don't remember ever seeing that kind of a tag on a citrus tree. So now I said to the lady at the garden store, I said, "Why is that tag on there? What did they do to this tree?" And she said, every tree now in the state of Florida, every citrus tree has to be treated with certain chemicals because they're afraid of this new disease that's on the citrus. So you, even if you want to, and I looked on the internet. I said, I'm not buying that tree because I don't know what they did to it. And I looked on the internet. I thought, maybe I can order an organic lemon tree. And I noticed that they won't even let you ship a tree now to the state of Florida unless it's treated with these chemicals.
Huh.
Yeah, a citrus tree. So it's very interesting. Even one of the vitamin companies, it was an organic vitamin company, New Chapter, it was just bought out by Procter & Gamble, which also is a part of Monsanto. So that's interesting.
Well, we're going to see this more and more, and especially under the Obama administration, this seems to be his agenda. More and more government control of the little guy.
Yeah.
And this is all going to come to a head later once we see these laws then being put into force. We're going to be whipping around going, where did this come from?
Well, you see, it all goes back to also the book of Revelation. Doesn't it say in the book of Revelation that you'll have to work all day to buy a loaf of bread? So we see that the seed companies now are being, most of them are being bought out. I used to buy these organic seeds from a certain seed company, and they were recently bought out by the Mars Corporation. And so why would I want to trust their organic seeds? I don't want to trust their organic seeds, but they want the farmers to come every year. They're making the seeds so that they don't reproduce themselves. So then the farmer has to go every year and buy seeds, and most of them are genetically engineered.
Sure.
And so, you know, truly we are in the end times, and it is a very weird, there's so many weird happenings, and I see a comment here in the chat room from Brother Vincent. Monsanto is short for monsters and toxins. And that's the truth.
And they're all in the name of protecting the citizens, you know, and truth, there are some things that need to be put into place, but yet we'll go ahead and import things from China that have no regulations on them. They can do whatever they want to their farms, and then we'll buy their stuff.
Yeah, that scares me, is the food that's coming from China. And a lot of the, I don't know if people know this, but most of the aspirin now is made in China. A lot of the vitamins, the ingredients for vitamins are made in China. Mostly all the vitamin companies, and I've called almost every single one of them. There was only two or three companies, I think Blue Bonnet, Mega Foods, and then it was New Chapter that was just bought by Procter & Gamble, which I wouldn't trust anymore, but that don't use genetically engineered products in their vitamins. So what's the sense of going and taking vitamins when they're using genetically engineered materials? But it's something that even the healthy food industry, they don't care about what they're doing or what they're selling in their stores. And it's truly, you know, consumer beware, or you really need to pray over your food.
No. Or just for now, try to grow your own. And,
or try to grow your own, exactly.
But that will be labeled a terrorist down the road, too, I'm sure, as you try
well, you've
to stay
noticed
off the grid.
That, haven't you noticed that there was a few farmers that were selling food, honey, I think, and one was selling raw milk, and they actually raided the farms.
Yes.
And closed them down.
Yep.
Now, isn't that, then that is very, very strange. Very strange. So even in my yard, even if I'm trying to grow something organic, it's very, very hard to even do that because in the summer, once a week, they come with the mosquito trucks and they spray everybody's yard, whether you want it or not.
Yep.
And so it's hard. You know, it's going to be harder and harder to get good food in the days to come. So, Christine, how does that all pertain, in your view, to the seven churches in the book of Revelation?
I don't know if that necessarily pertains to the seven churches, but I do know that it pertains to that rise of that one world government. As we more and more sequester our rights to the government that be, that eventually we're going to give over everything, including our soul, to the government that's going to come up to rule. And all these little steps that the government takes to regulate this, to regulate that, you can't have that garden, you can't have that seed without the government involvement in it. It's that desensitization, so that when something comes up that says, okay, we're now going to implant you with a device that's going to be able to give the government all the information it needs about you. All it has to do is you pass through a certain area and it will scan you.
But that's
already happening in the hospitals. It's that desensitization, and this is where every aspect of your life will be controlled by a government. And eventually, it will be controlled by the Antichrist, where you could not move one step one way or one step the other way without somebody knowing what you're doing. And this is going to be the time where the church will have to go underground.
Yeah. Yeah, because I can see that if you're going to try to tell people that Jesus Christ is the only way, well, it's going to be a hate crime. Because to me, every crime that's committed is a hate crime. When you hurt someone, yes, that it's a hate crime.
Yeah, everything. That's unloving your neighbor.
Right.
And that is
hate. So you can't just say, well, this is a hate crime, that's a hate crime. So, but in the days, in these days, and we see that if a Christian says that homosexuality is against what the Bible teaches, they've already done this in some parts of Europe and in Canada. You cannot speak out against, call homosexuality a sin. It's against the law.
And that's called tolerance of sin. And that's something that we are not supposed to do. God does not tolerate sin. But when us as believers start to do that, we become, again, desensitized to the whole sin of it. And, it's just the way that it's almost like God is designing it to go this way, so that when there are a few that stand up and say, no, this is wrong, we cannot participate in this, oh, you're trouble. We need to get rid of you.
Yeah.
And that's what happens.
Yeah, well, we know that's going to happen, because we know that the church will be persecuted.
Yep.
We can already see the great separation. I see it more and more every day, especially if you look at...
You can see it right in the churches.
Yeah, you can see it right in the churches.
Yep.
Because you can see how the direction of even the so-called Christian media has gone, how most of them have really been turned over to a reprobate mind, where they no longer really care. They don't have the love of God. They don't really care about people. It's just all about how much more money can we get for ourselves, and how what's a better way to manipulate people during this telethon season. And we can see how the Bible said that in the end times that the love of many would wax cold and there would be no love, and we're seeing that. We're really seeing that, yet we see a movement, especially on the internet, because people like myself and probably yourself, you wouldn't be allowed on to most of these so-called Christian television networks, because if you don't toe the line and you don't say things that are politically correct to their way of thinking, then they don't want to hear what you have to say. They'll just totally disregard you or do what they can to try to shut you up. So, but I did want to talk about the seven churches.
Yes.
And if you could, I wanted to remind my listeners now, Christine has written a book, and her book is called Explain This, and it is a verse-by-verse explanation of the book of Revelation. So she has done her homework on the book of Revelation, and I just wanted to before we get started on the seven churches, to let Christine tell you where you can get her book and give you her website.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yes, I wrote this book about 2 years ago, well, 2.5 years ago now, and it's been in print a little over a year. And I wrote that to explain Revelation in a way that it's simple and it makes common sense. And that, to me, was the purpose that God created me for. I see Revelation in a way that can be explained to, let's say, even a grade schooler to understand the metaphors, but the most important part is to take the rest of the Bible to help to explain it. And that's the little niche that I found in writing this book to make it different than others, because I stay away from doctrines and man's theories.
Yeah.
That, to me, just complicated the book of Revelation more. And I have talked face-to-face with some of these philosophers of Revelation, and they start explaining it to me through the eyes of dispensationalism or amillennialism, and I'm just more confused walking
away
than when I ask.
Yeah, I get lost there. I get lost.
I just get lost. I thought, you know, God's
simple,
word
please.
Cannot.
Keep it simple.
And just, God's word cannot be that complicated.
No,
why are we
no.
trying to make this complicated?
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I asked for discernment, and I asked the Lord to help me with an explanation to explain Revelation in a way that the most common of people, and believe me, I am one of them, because I never went to college. So you are looking at one girl here that went through high school, and that was it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just, to me, I have accomplished this goal. And the feedback now that I'm getting from the book, now that it's been out a little over a year, I know I have accomplished it. So you can look at my website. It is www.explainthis.us. Or if you could just go to explain this, I think it will bring it up in the search engine. You can actually go to my website and click on the cover of the book, and you will have a free sample there, a free sample chapter. I put the whole chapter up of one of the more difficult parts of Revelation, in fact. So you can read my view before you even buy the book. If you go to Amazon.com, the book is there also. You just put in Explain This. You'll see it come up under the books. And they also have the first chapter, but they include the introduction and the table of contents and everything, too. That's just part of Amazon's program.
Yeah.
So, but at least you'll get the first chapter. But I think if you go to my website, you'll get like something in the middle of the book, which you can just actually go ahead and print, send it to somebody else to have them go over it. That's fine. I'm not here to sell you something. I'm here to enlighten you to what we have coming.
Yes.
That's my purpose. And the book just happened to be a tool. And it is a means of supporting my ministry. People who buy the book, I mean, I've got it for as inexpensive as I can without having to keep put money into it. It's for
it's 14. On Kindle? Is your book on Kindle?
Oh, it's on Kindle for 99 cents. Does that tell you
then
that I'm not interested in making money?
Yeah.
I want to, and to me, 99 cents, that's like selling air, because when you're on electronic Kindle, there's nothing for me to print and mail to you.
Yeah, exactly.
So I would have went 50 cents on that if I could have, but 99 cents was the lowest I could go.
Oh, well,
so,
yeah,
you know,
someone in the chat room asked, and so, yes, her book is available on Kindle, but, you know, I don't have any, I respect authors. I've written several small books myself. They're currently not available because I'm redoing them, but I have nothing against anyone selling a book, because it's work. If anybody's written a book, it takes
many hours.
You've
got to put up front here, you know, and actually on the website it's $14.99, and I pay for the shipping as well.
Yeah.
So that includes the shipping. Amazon, I went with $14.99 to not go against my website. I had to go, the two had to go hand in hand. But if you got a Kindle, go ahead, grab it for 99 cents and share it. Share it.
Yeah, share
it. You know?
Thank you. Amen. Let's we just have about 20 minutes left, so it'll be a quick synopsis of the seven churches of Revelation and how they pertain to the end times.
Well, let's kind of break down here what each I put them into two different categories. The first three letters to the churches, this will be Ephesus, Smyrna, and Pergamum, are the first, I would say, the history of the church. Now, I'm going to say that my interpretation of the letters is one of many different points of view. It is you know, don't just take mine to heart. Get your homework done and check other people's point of view. And then make the conclusion yourself. That's how I did it, and this is, you know, just another angle to interpreting Revelation. If you take the letter to Ephesus, we have clues in each church that kind of tells you exactly what Jesus is talking about. And in the letter to Ephesus, the word apostles are mentioned. And to me, that was the church that involved the apostles. This was the earliest part of the church. It's the movement where this is their first love. A lot of references are made to the fact that this is the beginning of the beginnings. It moves to Smyrna. Smyrna is the persecuted church. Now, the one thing that was very intriguing was, let me see if I can find the verse right away. If I don't, that's okay too. It is the part where it says that that you are persecuted for 10 days. Let's see here. If it's in Revelation, I know it's Revelation chapter 2. Let's see. Yes, it's Revelation 2. It must be around chapter, Revelation 2, verse 9, where it says, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Now, I struggled with that one. I thought, wait a minute, that's literal. I don't know any part of where 10 days would fit. But if you look at this being the persecution of the early church with the Roman emperors, we know that, okay, because this is the Roman Empire at the time.
Yeah.
There are exactly 10 emperors who persecuted the church from starting with Nero at 74 A.D. until 312 A.D. when Constantine came into power. And here are, and for someone who wants to look these up, here are the 10 emperors. Now, some of these I may not pronounce correctly. Nero, Domitian. We know Domitian was part of it because John was persecuted under Domitian.
Okay.
He was exiled to the island of Patmos, which was proven in history that Domitian, that was his technique of persecution. He exiled people. So we know that that was when John was alive. Let's see here. There's Trajan, Hadrian, Marcus Aurelius, Severus, Maximus, Decius, Valerian, and Diocletian, which was right before Constantine. Now, on and off, throughout those emperors, there was good ones and there was bad ones. The church grew, of course, really rapidly during the good ones because they were able to have a building again. They were able to meet without being in secret. And then a bad one would come along, and they would all go underground again. So the church did a lot of up and down, up and down, up and down. But it grew very strongly. And if you look up those 10 emperors, that to me are the 10 days of the persecution. That's just my interpretation.
Yeah.
Now you go to Pergamum. And Pergamum was the shift over from when things, and this was at Constantine, when things went from the true word of God to something that was tainted with paganism. And there's a number of clues that Jesus said in there. Stop doing this activity of the, the Nicolaitans.
Yeah.
And if you go back to what the history of the Nicolaitans were, this was the idea of having a rule of one person, like a cult.
Yes, yes.
Where it was called the victory over the people. And it was the idea of having one person in the group control the whole group.
Yes.
And that's where the whole
started.
We see
that. We've seen that even in the shepherding movement.
Yes, and that's where the whole idea of a pope started.
Yeah.
After Constantine came to power.
Pope
Sylvester is considered, even though the Catholics believe that it's Pope Peter, but there's no documentation that said that Peter was going to be the ruler of the church. It was
No documentation he ever even went to Rome, but
right.
if you really want to make a Catholic angry, just tell them that Peter was married. They'd get furious.
Yes, he was. And and of course they based this whole Pope thing on Pope Peter, where it's not. It's called Pope Sylvester was the one that was given the first rule of or the first reign as Pope. And here we go with and then the story of Balaam and Balak started. And you have to go back to Numbers 22 through 24 and read that story of Balak and Balaam as to what happened there, why Jesus mentions that Old Testament story.
Yeah, I wondered myself why he mentioned it.
Well, there's a very strong clue here. It was the whole idea that the Israelites were encamped around a pagan, next to a pagan city. And, of course, the king of that city was really concerned because the Israelites were coming in and sweeping and conquering all these cities wherever they went. So he wanted the Israelites to be cursed. And this is where the story goes, where Balaam tries three times to curse Israel. And it didn't happen. Every time he cursed them, Israel got blessed. And so Balaam tells Balak, hey, we got to do this from behind the scenes. This is how it gets done. Tell the women of Moab to seduce the men of Israel. Have the women bring the men of Israel back to the city of Moab. Have them dance around the idols. Have them eat this food sacrificed to idols, which was a no-no.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they did. So the women went over into the camp, took the good-looking guys back, and said, come on! I mean, the women of Moab must have been beautiful. They took all the guys, not all the guys, but they took a portion of the young men back to Moab. And not only did the Israel men, and this is all documented in Numbers 22 and 24, not only did the Moabite women seduce the men to dance and have parties, the Israel men took the women back to Israel.
Oh.
And they convinced the Israelites to worship Baal.
Oh.
That's when God cursed Israel. And actually, then Balaam and Balak got their way.
Wow.
And that's what happened during the Church of Pergamum. Constantine took scripture and said, I am going to convince my pagan friends that they need to come into church. And that's exactly what he did. And it changed the early church. What Constantine did is he took the temples of the gods and now made them churches.
Yeah.
Well, we now have those
paganism and Christianity. Yeah.
It made a mix. And what it did is it muddied the clean water of the early church.
Yeah, we have a caller, and let's bring the caller on. Hello, caller.
Hi, this is Barry from Tennessee. How are you all doing today?
Good.
Good.
Do you have a question?
I do. I just kind of caught the last little bit of the show, and I apologize for that. I usually try to catch the beginning of any show that I'm going to try to call into or have any interest in, you know, saying anything about. But you guys said a lot within the last little while that made a lot of sense. And then I have a lot of questions about, and I know you don't have a whole lot of time left. I don't want to spend the rest of it on me or anything like that, but I did have a couple of questions. I grew up in the Church of Christ, which is a very tight-knit denomination. And here in Tennessee, of course, in the quote-unquote the Bible Belt. And so, you know, we in that denomination believes that pretty much everybody else is going to hell. And if they don't believe the way that they believe. And that's my experience from my granddad being a preacher in Georgia for 50 years and my dad being a preacher and an elder in the church and knowing tons of people in the Church of Christ, especially my brothers as well. They go to Church of Christ, and it's just a very closed-minded denomination. And out of the three brothers, them being 14 and 12 years older than me, And me being the oops, so to speak, and we always make a joke about that. But anyway, you know, I'm wondering, you know, I've kind of grown away from going to church in general because of so many denominations like you all were talking about how everything got split up. I don't even go to a non-denominational church because they even think that the other non-denominational churches are wrong. And I've heard so many backstabbing stories, and I've actually gone through a couple of them with some best friends that have backstabbed other families that have grown up together because they'll not believe something and they'll go to another church or they'll go to another church because it's close, because it's closer to them and it saves them money. So, you know, then they backstab them and they say that, oh, well, they're bad people because they don't go to our church anymore. So it drives people away.
Okay.
Yeah.
One thing I would like to say, and I run into this often, because when I'm in my booth where I talk about Revelation, I ask people if they're a Bible reader, and yes, they are, but they say they don't go to church. And I say, you know, when you get to heaven, the one thing Christ will not ask me is what church I attended. He's going to ask me, did I have a relationship with him?
Yes.
That is the biggest
right.
thing. And if I have to belong to a certain church in order to go to heaven, that church I ought to be screaming out the door from.
Yeah.
Because that is not
right.
what Christ
run for
taught.
Your life.
In fact,
yeah.
Christ hates religion. He
yeah.
hated the Pharisees. The Pharisees treated people that way. If you didn't do a certain thing, you were going to go to hell.
Yes.
Or God did not love you if you didn't follow those X, Y, and B plus and all them rules.
Right.
He just says, you know, knock it off. That's you guys are like, you know, just the most ugliest of things in this beautiful container. And almost like dung in a container, you know. That's what he meant them to be. And so there's so many different denominations, and you can go down the list from, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses to sometimes even the Catholic Church. If you don't believe in a certain way or if you don't believe what we teach, then you're doomed to hell. I struggle
okay.
with that.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah,
I do too.
You have to be born again. You know, you have to be
right.
born again. And
right.
It doesn't yeah. matter that you join the Church of Christ, and they say, well, if you don't join this church, it's just like the Catholics. They said the same thing. I was raised Catholic, and they told
okay.
us if we didn't belong to this church, that yes, we were going
mm-hmm.
to hell. If we ever left the church, we were going to hell. And yet
mm-hmm.
we weren't taught to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So
right.
the important thing is that you must be born again, and you read your Bible for yourself. You find out what the Bible says. And if you can't find a good church to go to in your area, there's some good churches on the internet. If you need fellowship, you can have fellowship there until you find some place where you feel like you fit in.
Right,
but,
and that's definitely a place. That's definitely a situation that we'll have to do because we live in the Cumberland Mountains in Tennessee.
Yeah,
and we're
you're
like
limited
50 to 60, absolutely limited.
Yeah, you're limited.
And absolutely, and. The biggest thing is you know, my family. Okay, well, do they think less of me because I don't attend church?
Don't worry about what people think.
It's my mom and dad and my family, though.
Did you
yeah,
know
but
that
you
Jesus
can't,
is his
you can't
own
worry
family?
About, can't
you know,
worry
this
about
I found
it.
Interesting, too, that one of Jesus' brothers didn't even believe in him.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yes.
You know, just look back at what Christ did, and,
yeah.
and you know, and my family too has disengaged from me because I'm a very charismatic evangelical Christian, and they don't like that because when I come over, I like to, you know, talk about God, and I
right.
guess they got sick of that, so they
sure
they
yeah, and that's something I stay away from. I don't even talk about it at
no.
all. Nobody does.
And that's
family.
A shame when you can go into your mom and dad's house and you can't even talk about God and they call this a Christian family.
Well, yeah, but
you know?
We can.
The Bible says
we can.
That brother will
we
turn
can,
against
but
brother
we,
and mother
we can
will
talk
turn
about,
against their children. So, you know,
we
know
can
that.
Talk about, we, you know, we can talk about religion and God and how we love God and we fear God. You know, we're God-fearing people and we try to do good and do the best we can in our lives. We talk about that. But as far as the denominations and what I believe in, I do not talk about that to my father because he is so grounded, and he's 75 years old, and my mom's 73. They've been together 52 years and been in the Church of Christ, involved in it for that long, if not
yeah.
longer, you know, since the 30s. So,
oh.
you know, they're grounded, they're stuck in their beliefs, and that's fine. They're good people. They do good things for good people, and they go visit people at hospitals. They do things out of their way to not for any kind of self-salvation whatsoever
right.
or self what's the word I'm looking for? Self
glorification.
You know. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And they don't do it for that. They do it because they genuinely care. So
sure.
so regardless of whether they go to a Church of Christ or not, I believe they're gonna be in heaven. And you know, I'm going to see them there because they are genuinely good people. I was raised very well, and that's the way that you know, they raised me. And then, unfortunately, I just don't believe the same things they do.
Yep.
And it causes confrontation, and we don't talk about it.
We're all the body of Christ, and this is that example Paul gave us. It's like we are all the same body, but each are a different part. Susan might be the eye. I might be the foot. Does that give the eye any jurisdiction to say to me as the foot, I don't need you? You know, I mean, yeah, my foot can't see where I'm going, but
yeah.
the eye needs me to get it where it wants to go.
That's right. That's
so
right.
we're all different parts, and that includes the Baptist. I believe there are believers in the Catholic Church, absolutely. If they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are saved. End of story.
Right.
I mean, there doesn't matter.
And I was saved by being, you know, what we believed in being immersed underwater and brought back up.
Oh, who
and
cares?
Then we could ask
God
for forgiveness and we would be forgiven.
When I get to heaven, were you submerged or were you sprinkled upon? It's
submerged.
Well,
they're not going to ask. Jesus is going
yeah.
to ask. Jesus
Look at the
is going
thief
to
on
ask.
The cross. He
yeah,
never
did you
was
accept
baptized.
Me. And,
I thought he baptized a bunch of people and he was baptized himself.
Yeah, well, baptism doesn't save you. I mean, it's just
what,
you
know, that's
Catholic,
what Jesus did, though.
They baptize you when you're a baby, and of course, you can't make a profession of faith when you're a baby. So,
okay,
you know,
so
you
but Jesus didn't
saved.
Baptize anyone, or he wasn't baptized himself by John.
Well, Jesus was baptized, but
yeah.
that doesn't.
So he
save
was,
you.
But he was dunked underwater.
Yeah, but
Jesus
it doesn't
was
save
baptized,
you.
Yes, but the thief
yeah,
on the cross was not, and
no,
Jesus said, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise."
Right. So, I mean, baptism
okay,
doesn't
Okay, so
save.
So in other words, that didn't mean anything?
It does mean something, but it's not a requirement.
No,
to
it
get
doesn't
into
save.
Okay, well, and in the Church of Christ, it is.
Yeah.
Well,
in
the Church
of Christ,
Christ,
it
is.
But,
so it is in Catholic Church that you have to be baptized. But Jesus said you must be born again. He said first
right.
you're
and guys,
born
I gotta
of,
go.
Hey, of
thank,
water.
Ladies, thank you so much for letting
born
me call
of,
in.
You
you're
bet.
Born
thank
of your
you
mother.
For calling in.
Yeah. See, first you're born of your mother. But then you must be born again of the Spirit of God.
Yep,
and
there's
that
a
means,
big difference.
And there's a big difference.
And
there's
being, you know, and just being good people, that is excellent. But that's not how you get into heaven by being
no.
good.
No,
you
because
know,
nobody's
I mean,
good
that
enough.
That is a reflection of your faith. There's
right.
a very good chance that good people are reflected of their faith. Absolutely. But there's also a lot of good people that are not saved. And I'm
that's
sorry,
true.
But their works will not get them into heaven.
No, and
so.
That's where it's
but
kind of
But he brings
a,
up a very good point, and we got just a few more minutes. So maybe you'll have me on again. We'll
I have
talk
to have
about
you on
last,
again to finish up on the seven
we'll
churches.
We'll have to finish those last four letters to
yeah.
the churches. But you know what?
We definitely
and
have
that
to finish
will
it.
Actually, that, if you would be so gracious to have me on again, the last four churches will actually answer his question about
okay.
what church do I need to go to? Because
okay.
you will have all four letters to the churches in each church. It's the individual that it starts to nail. And it's amazing what I have found. And I know I open, in fact, if the folks want to go to my website, you can click on free articles. And I have all the letters to the churches there, but they're very short
oh, good.
Form.
Yeah.
They're in very short form, but it gets to the gist of what I want to say as to what is the Church of Laodicea? Who is that Christian today walking around? And unfortunately, that will be the most of the people in the churches will be the Church of Laodicea.
Yes.
But like the Church of, Sardis. Who is that person in church? Who is the Sardis? And I think it's very clear that the way the Bible lays that out in Revelation as to who we can pinpoint today, and of course, it's not who you point fingers at. It's the person who you point, coming from. It's point to yourself.
Well, we can't do it next week because I've got another show booked, but how about the week after?
You send me an email.
I will.
And I
so
will
we'll continue.
Confirm that with you.
Part two.
Absolutely. I would appreciate
seven,
that.
Yeah. That would be
and
great.
And I hope the caller will be listening again, and that I think I will help him answer a question as to, like, what church do I need to belong to?
Yeah.
You don't. It's your own personal relationship. And
right.
How is that? That's
right.
How you critique yourself.
Yeah, right. Because it's kind of like what you were saying about the Nicolaitans, is that that's that spirit that Jesus hated because they want to rule over people and try to control people with false doctrine, and you have to do this, and you have to be dunked, and you have to be sprinkled.
Right, you can't
eat
this food. You have to worship on this day only. That is a bunch of baloney, and that's the part that Jesus hated.
Jesus hated
those rules and regulations. It's a relationship.
Yeah. It's relationship, and that's what, and it's so freeing, really. There's so much freedom in knowing Jesus Christ for who he is, the Savior, the Redeemer, the one who makes us righteous, because there's none righteous, no, not one, in your own self. You can only you only come to know Jesus Christ by being born again, by accepting him, by asking him to forgive you of your sins. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your life today. Ask him to reveal himself to you, to show him that he is real. And he will. He will. It's simple. The gospel is simple. And we don't have to make it difficult for people to know the real Jesus and not what religion has said about Jesus. But I think that this was a great program today, Christine. I always learn so much from you. And I want to thank you for being here.
And I appreciate you having me. I always do.
I really enjoy talking with you, and I want people to know that it won't be next Saturday. Next Saturday, I'll be having James Sundquist, and let me look on my calendar here. It'll be the 14th of April.
You want to do it at 1 o'clock again? I'll
pencil
it in right now.
Yeah, 1 o'clock,
all right,
April
14th. And we'll finish
14th.
Up the churches.
Yeah, and we will finish up the letters to the seven churches. And I'm sure there'll be something else in the news that we'll want to talk about then. So everybody tune in for that program on April 14th with Christine. And I want to thank her so very much for all her studying, her labor, and for accepting that calling to teach on the book of Revelation. And certainly you have fulfilled what you were put on earth to do. So,
thank you.
Yes.
All the glory goes to God on that one. Without him, it would not have been possible.
Yes, amen to that. So I want to thank you for tuning in, for coming on today. And I want to thank all my listeners in the chat room and everybody that listened today and for the caller that called in. We'll be praying for you, dear brother. And everybody, come back again next week, and don't forget, ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and to reveal himself to you. Read your Bible, especially John chapter 3, where Jesus said you must be born again. And you will understand. Once you are born again and your spiritual eyes are open, you will understand the meaning of life, and you will understand the Bible. It's wonderful. It's just wonderful to know God in a real way. So bye for now, Christine.
Thank you, and goodbye to you.
And goodbye to all my audience. Thank you for tuning in, and tune in again next week. Okay? Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven. sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to the city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.